This is a continuing episode of a series about the Netflix production of Three Body Problem. There will be medium-level spoilers. So if that's something that bothers you, move on and find a different episode of Sci-Fi Thoughts, like maybe Foundation series. Cool. So yeah, she returns the phone call to the aliens, despite being warned, and dooming the entire human race to some big trouble, i.e. the aliens decide, wow, that's a nice place to live. We're going to come live with you, maybe. We're going to come and visit, at least. And she knows this. Let me think about this. So she does this guilty act, right? She does this act. She feels guilty, but she wants to do it because of her. She's so angry about her childhood trauma, about her father being torn down by and killed by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah. She also read Silent Spring, which is a book about climate change. And she believes we are destroying the planet, and that Santi Ren would protect the Earth better than we do.
Right. That was alluded to, and I was kind of a little bit confused by that, but now that makes sense. Yeah. So there we are, folks. This is like a first contact. One person started it by answering the phone or sending out the signal, then answering the phone call. She knows, I guess, Mark, you're of the frame that maybe she thinks she's helping. I actually think she's lying to herself, and she knows it deep in her core, and that, or at least she did something that's really egregious. And so you could think about this, like if you could imagine doing something against the entire human race and then keeping it secret until when, how long did you keep it secret?
Years later. Yeah. Well, I mean, other than people within the organization she creates. Yeah. But they managed to keep the organization and the contact secret for like 40 years.
So she maintains an open channel somehow at some point. And yeah, they build a movement on Earth, a small movement.
Yeah, they create this organization of people who are sympathetic towards the aliens.
Right.
And it grows over time. And she recruits this billionaire named Mike Evans, who is also an environmentalist and also wants to try to prevent Earth from being destroyed. He cares a lot about animals and stuff. And, they recruit members through a video game that basically shows you Tricelaran history. You don't really realize that's what it is at first. It's just seeing if you can sympathize with them and start thinking how they think so that you can then understand why they need to do what they need to do. And once you beat it, then they know that you're susceptible to
their charm.
Conversion. Their charm. Exactly. So,
and you're smart enough too, because I think it's a fairly scientific challenge, or at least a logical challenge, to solve the game.
Yeah. So they send this out to a ton of physicists, scientists, and just see, you know, who's able to solve it. And that's where we get the name of the show, Three Body Problem. That's what they're trying to solve. Do you want to explain Three Body Problem? Classic physics problem.
So after you're listening to this podcast, you can go get into your web browser and type in the three body problem, and you will see it's a unsolved mathematical or physics situation, because the idea is to be able to predict using math where people can predict with math where one body is going to move. You add a second body, they can predict that too. You know, think about the sun and the Earth. But when you add a third body, it's there's too many destabilizing forces going on, and nobody knows how to solve that without using so much compute, or even using so much compute. I don't know.
It's basically like, you know, those machines where it has the two sticks and the balls, and you could drop it, and you'll notice, like, if you drop it at two, it all looks almost exactly the same. But if you do it, they'll quickly go out of sync. Do you know that chaos thing? It's called Newton's arm or something. I forget.
Is there a video of this I can put in the show notes?
No, I didn't put it there. No, it's no, not quoting himself.
I can put it in the show notes
anyways,
later.
Yeah, yeah, you can look it up afterwards. But it's just like a science experiment that teachers will show kids. But they'll drop, it's like a stick with another stick, and the forces cause it to go kind of wild. And you'll put two next to each other, drop them, and within like a minute, they'll start being wildly different. And it looks like you started them from the same position, right? And that's kind of how I explain through body problem is it can theoretically, there's a solution. If you knew the exact position of everything, you could predict it. But if you're just off by a little bit, like inches, and within a certain amount of time, it's completely different than what your estimate is. And I think they did simulations like that with the solar system, and it's like we moved Mercury like 1 mile and then predicted out into the future, and it was wildly different, like how the solar system looked. And so, but it's impossible to get that accurate of a measurement of a celestial body. So there's just like no way to predict how these three suns are going to move around each other within your accuracy.
So that's the challenge, and the Santi are living that challenge, and
they're living in a system with three suns, and which is great because Alpha Centauri actually has three suns in real life. So this could be real.
Did you just spoil it, Mark?
I already mentioned earlier they're from Alpha Centauri because I mentioned they're 4 light years away.
That's why you did spoil them right there. Spoiling after spoiling. Okay, cool. So let's go through the cast a little bit. I haven't read the book, so I'm just gonna say,
yeah, let's just talk about the Netflix cast. The book cast is much more boring.
I was happy with the cast. They had a mix of like Chinese living in tend to be like immigrants or second year immigrants, or second generation immigrants was what I meant, living in London. And there's, you know, it's a multiracial cast, and they are all, it's a group of scientists. It kind of reminded me of the, oh my God, what's that book called? The Turing. So I don't know if this is actually in a movie or not, but Alan Turing, all these smart physicists went to the same school. They all knew each other. And then when World War II happened, they all scattered about their various nation states and started doing whatever it is their governments pressed them to do. And so it's kind of like that. They got a cast of really smart people. They're all physicists or entrepreneurs, et cetera, et cetera. And I like the energy of it. It was very, very cool, actually, the entrepreneurial spirit of how these people are trying to solve this problem.
Yeah, in the book, there's really only like two characters, so they expanded it. But what's interesting is all the characters, they brought them from future books into the first book, I think, so they can have continuity between all the seasons. I think it worked out really well, actually. This is the biggest strength of the Netflix version, is the characters.
Yeah.
So let's go through them real quick.
Yeah, I don't... I'm trying to decide. Just saying their names. Okay, so Yan Wenjie
Yan Wenjie, we mentioned she's the one who sent the signal. We can just go over the ones who had a really major role. We had Wade. He's sort of the one leading the investigation of what's going on.
He's the puppet master. Let's give him a little bit, like, because he's the guy in the background who's trying to figure out why there's bodies. Oh, we didn't talk about the murder mystery part, Mark.
People. No, we just talked about the
in contemporary time. Scientists are for some reason committing suicide or destroying their work and killing themselves, and so that's how the contemporary part of the story starts.
Yeah, and it's because all these particle accelerators are getting weird results.
That's right. You know, they devoted their life's work to it, and all of a sudden, they're getting incorrect results.
As somebody, like as a computer scientist, if all of a sudden computers were glitching out and everything, would you be like, my life's worthless now, so I guess I'll kill myself?
I don't know. I think I have other things I like to do, too. But I can, it's plausible that there would be some people who are all about work. Those people would have a bad time of realizing that they have nothing to do now because all their training and it no longer seems to be valid. So they were getting all these weird results, and so they started killing themselves. And so the backstory is the puppet master, Wade.
Wade's my favorite character, I think, in this series.
He's hired some kind of ex-cop, Clarence, who's the fellow from the, what's that Disney film, The Three Rings or something?
He's from, I don't know about that one, but he's from Doctor Strange.
Ah, that's probably it. Well, that's the same one. Yeah, he has his own character, right? He's the Chinese.
Yeah, Wong. Or His name is Wong.
Oh, okay.
In Marvel, his name is Wong. But his real name is actually Wong as well.
Okay, there we are.
And when I first saw the casting list, the main character in the book is also called Wong. And when I saw he was there, I'm like, are they just going to make Wong just play Wong?
Yeah, that's how it's going to be. Okay, so this group of scientists, roughly, what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4 people. Are we going to bother with names?
There's 5 scientists known as the Oxford Five. Yeah, they all go to the same school, as you mentioned earlier.
Oh, 5. I missed one.
Yeah, we have Jack, Will, Saul, Augie, Jin Chung, and somebody else. I don't remember.
Well, no, you got it. That's 5. Jin Chung. I messed up my list. That's why I didn't have 5.
And then there's Raj.
Well, he's not a part of the Oxford Five, though.
Yeah, he's just a friend.
So they're all Oxford grads. Okay, I didn't pick up on that. That makes it even more like that Alan Turing situation where they had a nickname like that, too.
Exactly, where they all know each other from school. And Yeo and Jay teaches at that school, I believe, or she did. And that's kind of why they're characters, because they have a connection, because she's the most important character in the first book. So they all have that connection to her, so that makes sense why they would be so involved, this group of friends. Because Vera Ye, her daughter, right, worked at the particle accelerator with Saul and everybody. Vera Ye being Ye Wenjie's daughter, she ends up committing suicide even. So
Right.
Set off the story.
And now you have to think about this, folks. Her mother knows more than she's letting on, and her daughter's dead, which flies in the face of everything I know about Chinese moms, so it's pretty big deal. I was like, oh my god.
She's so obsessed with these aliens, so even her daughters, she's willing to sacrifice.
It's the 22nd century, and although there's no faster-than-light drive, governments and religious organizations fund voyages by giant ships that spend multiple generations in voyage to Earth-like exoplanets. Young Arcady feels blessed to be born aboard the ship when he did, because the ship will soon reach its destination, and it will happen during his lifetime. But he's heartbroken that instead of being trained as a pilot, he is stuck training to be a farmer, because those skills are more important for creating their civilization and completing the abandonment of Earth and the troubles they left behind. But once their ship makes planetfall, the strife left behind a millennia ago resurfaces, starting with the murder of his sister. After the mysterious disappearance of other generation ships, Arcady, now an officer of the Space Force, suspects that someone close to him is killing his people. This murder investigation space opera is a novelette by Lancer Kind, and it's called Memories Victims. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's Nook. The series started at episode 273, so if you're like my friend Bob and you missed the first episode, go back to scifithoughts.space and you can enter in the episode number or description, and it will find those episodes for you. We've got the goodies, and they're in the show notes. So if you're using a podcast player, they show up right there in the user interface for easy peasy access. But hey, if you didn't use a podcast player and you downloaded the MP3 from a website, go back to the website and you will see on that page the show notes. And there you will see links to the three-body problem, some more information about Kinleo, and anything else that we could drum together, like some science background on the three-body problem, and whatever the other thing we dreamed up. Next episode, Mark and I continue discussing Netflix's The Three-Body Problem.
Yeah, so I felt like the Trisolarians were manipulating people a little bit more powerfully by using those cultural memes against them. With all that said, though, this is a little less using Christianity as a manipulation tool is a little less popular within in London. So that's why it's, but it's a, this is a worldwide organization. So it doesn't matter whether they're from London or not.
In the books, basically everything takes place in China, right? The sending the signal and all the people that solve everything, like a group of heroes who are from Oxford. In the books, they're all from China. So in the books, China starts the problem, but they also solve the problem, right? But there's a big controversy in China about the Netflix version, which is basically China starts the problem and the rest of the world has to clean up their problem, right? And while it makes more sense that the story is worldwide because it's about an alien invasion, what do you think about maybe some cultural tone deafness from non-Netflix about doing that?